Thank you for listening to the Bible Expositors Podcast with your host, Stephen Baker, taking you verse by verse through the Word of God from the pulpit of Harmony Baptist Church in Dalton, Georgia.
1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 19. The title of the message this morning is You Can't Please Everybody. You can't please everybody. First Corinthians 9, verses 19 through 22, and next Sunday morning is Mother's Day, isn't it? Is that right? All right, next Sunday morning is Mother's Day, so we're going to have a special Mother's Day message, unless I can somehow tie the Scripture into Mother's Day, which I don't think I can, this upcoming Scripture. So we'll have a special Mother's Day message, but for this morning, continuing our study through 1 Corinthians. You can't please everybody. And let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we will begin. Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us be in your house this morning. I do pray that you would forgive me for my sins. I pray you would fill me with your Holy Spirit as I preach, and these that are saved as they hear. If there's anyone here that doesn't know you as Savior, I pray you would convict them and save their soul. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can't please everybody. I think one of the hardest possible jobs that a person could have would be being a politician, especially the president, because the president has to please all kinds of people and people are always mad at him. You have all these different constituencies, and if you don't please this person, if you please this person, it's going to make this person mad. If you do this for this person, you can make this person mad. And so it's a very difficult job. Pastoring also, you have lots of different people, that want you to do things in different ways, and it's hard to please everybody. And in fact, you can't please everybody. And if you try to please everybody, it'll drive you insane. I'm reading this book right now. I don't know if anybody's familiar with the Babylon Bee, but it is a Christian satire website, and they put out humorous articles, and they put out a book called How to Become a Perfect Christian. And it's a satire, the whole book. And it tells I won't go into the whole thing, but if you like humor, you'll find it funny. And at any rate, one of the things it tells you is when you're visiting a church, it says you need to visit a church that will make you happy. And if you're in a church right now that does not make you happy, you need to leave immediately and go find a church that will make you happy and will be centered on your needs. And it says the best kind of church to go to is a non-denominational church. And then it goes through this whole thing and it says, if they have a comment box, they will be very pleased if you write 600 suggestions on what could improve the service and drop them in the comment box in the back. And it's a satire. But you can't please everybody. People have different opinions and so on and so forth. And so you cannot please everyone. Now, Paul this morning is not talking about pleasing everyone, but he's talking about reaching everyone. And notice what he says in verse 19. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. Now, if you'll remember from last Sunday, and if you'd like to go back, we have our sermons online. If you go to harmonybconline.com to the preaching section, all the sermons are online. But last Sunday we talked about the fact that Paul was making an argument on an argument on his rights. And Paul was saying he had certain rights, but then he was saying, I don't use those rights. And we reviewed that in Sunday school this morning. So Paul said, I have a right to be paid for preaching, but he said, I don't use that right because he didn't want anyone in the church in Corinth, because it was so divided and had so many issues, he didn't want anyone to accuse him of preaching just for money, just to get money. And so he said, I won't take any money from you at all. And he was using that as an illustration of a Christian laying aside their rights. Chapter 8 talks about meat offered to idols, which was a big deal in Corinth in that day and age. And the temples would sell meat that they had offered part of the meat to an idol. And people could get the meat cheaper in the temple. And so people would go to the temple meat market to buy their meat. And the temple also had a restaurant, so people would go in the idol's temple to eat because the food was cheap in the idol's temple restaurant. It was like McDonald's. Everything was cheap. And so some of the Christians were offending other believers by going and eating at the temple restaurant and buying the food from the temple meat market. And Paul said, you know, we all have rights, but we need to lay aside some of our rights to help others and to not cause weaker brethren to stumble. And then he gives himself as an illustration in chapter 9 of how he had a right to be paid, but he didn't take that right. And so when he gets down to verse 19 here, he is showing us that he wants to lay aside whatever rights he needs to, and he wants to do whatever he needs to do to reach people. And so he says, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all that I might gain the more." Now, Adam Clark, who is a very old Bible commentator, an Arminian commentator, and this is what he says. "Although I am under no obligation to any man, yet I act as if every individual had a particular property in me and as if I were the slave of the public." And the word servant in verse 19 literally means it means to make oneself a slave. And so Paul is literally saying, even though I'm free from all men, even though nobody has a right to control me, because I won't take money from them, they have no right to control me, they can't tell me what to do, even though I'm free from all men, yet have I made myself a slave unto all, that I might gain the more. Now you think about how amazing that is, that a man who was completely free from all men would choose to make himself a servant to all men so that he could win people to Christ. Very few people would do what Paul did. But that's what he did. If we look in verse 18, what he says in verse 19 is, of course, connected to verse 18. And he's talking about, "What is my reward then? Verily that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel." So Paul wanted to make the gospel free. The gospel is free, but he's saying, "I don't want to be paid. I'm not going to take money to preach the gospel, even though I have a right to. Because I don't want to be accused of abusing my power in the gospel, and I don't want to abuse my power in the gospel." And so he made himself a servant to all, though he was free. And this is how he made himself a servant to all. In verse 20, "And unto the Jews I became a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law." Now, Paul had a Jewish heritage. He came from a Jewish family. He was a Jew. And so Paul, when he spoke to Jews, he reminded them, "Hey, I grew up as a Jew. Hey, I grew up under the law. I have some of the same practices that you have. I have some of the same culture." And when he spoke to those who were living under the law, and probably what this is referring to, you can look at this verse as combining both the Jews and them that are under the law, but probably it's talking about two separate things there. The Jews is more than likely speaking of Jewish people who were not saved, whereas to them that are under the law, as under the law, is probably talking about people who had been influenced by the Jewish teachers, or even Jews that had been saved and come from that culture that were still holding to parts of the law. And so Paul is saying, "Unto the Jews I became a Jew that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law as under the law that I might gain them that are under the law." Now, How did Paul become a Jew and become under the law? There are several different examples we have in the Bible. For instance, in Acts 16:3, Paul circumcised Timothy. He didn't want Timothy to be offensive to any of the Jewish people, and so he had Timothy circumcised. In Acts 17:2-3, Paul went to the synagogue on the Sabbath. It was his habit when he would go into a town. We were talking about this in Sunday school this morning. Is did they have church buildings in the early church, or how did they do it? Well, they didn't have church buildings. They met in people's houses. Rich people usually had big courtyards, big atriums. They would meet in the people's houses, and they would meet in small houses too. But also, Paul, anytime he went into a city, he would go straight to the synagogue, and he would preach in the synagogue, because there were already Jews there that were studying the Old Testament, and he could take and reason that Jesus was Christ. Paul shaved his head in Cenchrea in Acts 18:18. This is because he had taken a Jewish vow, and he was about to leave the Gentiles, and he was about to go preach to the Jews. And when he was going into the Jewish regions, he had taken this Jewish vow, so he shaved his head as part of this Jewish vow that he had taken. And he did that not because he thought, well, I need to take a Jewish vow to be right with God, but he took the Jewish vow in order to make himself acceptable to the Jews. In Acts 21:20-26, he purified himself at Jerusalem as the manner of the Jews was. He made sure that he was purified, ceremonially clean, and he did that as to not offend the Jewish believers. And so that's what he did. To the Jews, I become as a Jew. To those under the law, as under the law. Verse 21, the Bible says, to them that are without law, as without the law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. By the way, if you're sitting here and you've never visited with us before, I think everybody may have been here before, but if you're sitting here and you've never visited with us before and you're getting concerned because you think he's still in his introduction, don't worry, this is the message. Sometimes I use outlines, and sometimes the verses themselves are the outline. I preach the Bible verse by verse, so we're actually in the message, and don't worry, we'll still be able to go to lunch today. To them that are without the law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. So Paul, when he was around the Gentiles who were not under the law, then he acted as one who was not under the law. So you see what he did. Around the Jews, he acted like a Jew, so he could win the Jews. Around the Gentiles, he acted like a Gentile so that he could win the Gentiles. You say, well, isn't that hypocrisy? No, that's trying to reach people for Christ. And that's what he did. Some examples of this. Paul delivered the message to the Gentiles that they did not have to observe the Jewish ceremonial laws, Acts 16:4. In Galatians 2:3-4, he did not have Titus circumcised because Titus was a Greek. And so even though it might have pleased the Jews, Paul stood up for Titus and the fact that he was not Jewish. He had no Jewish ancestry. And Paul said, nope, we're not going to have him circumcised. He's a Greek. In Galatians 2:12-14, Paul rebukes Peter for not fellowshipping with the Gentiles, but separating and sitting only with the Jews at supper. In the church in that day and age, the people would have meals. Now, Baptists still have meals at church, which is a good thing. We had breakfast this morning, and we have a buffet over in the pastor's class every Sunday morning. But at any rate, we had a meal this morning. But they would have meals too. And they would sit in fellowship with one another at church. And as they were doing this, Peter was eating with the people in Galatia. But eventually, some Jewish teachers came from Jerusalem. And that was the mother church. That was the big church. And so when they came to Galatia, they started saying to Peter, why are you eating with these Gentiles? They're not clean. You need to separate yourself. And Peter, not wanting to look bad to these Jewish teachers and to the church at Jerusalem, decided that he would not sit with the Gentiles anymore, but that he would sit with the Jews. And so Paul observes this happening. And if you read in the book of Galatians, it implies that Paul stands up in the middle of the meal and just openly rebukes Peter. And wouldn't that be fun? I mean, most of the time you see that in a business meeting, but you're actually seeing that at a meal. They're having a fellowship meal, and all of a sudden Paul stands up and says, I just want to say something. You're a stinking hypocrite. And he starts to rebuke Peter. And he said, you know, if you, Peter, live like a Gentile, even though you're a Jew, then why are you separating yourself from these Gentiles and telling them to live like Jews? That's hypocrisy. And so Paul stood up for the Gentiles. He identified with the Gentiles. He was the apostle to the Gentiles. Verse 22, to the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now, we'll talk about that in a second. But to the weak, I became as weak, that I might gain the weak. When did Paul do that? Well, he talks about that in chapter 8 and verse 13. He says, wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. Now, does anybody remember from earlier, if you've been here in past weeks, what kind of meat he's talking about there? Idol's meat. That's right. The meat you buy in the meat market at the idol's temple or that you get from the temple restaurant. And he said, if meat causes my brother to stumble, I will eat no meat while the world stands, lest I make my brother to stumble. That's what it means to offend, to stumble. It doesn't mean I'm not going to offend somebody, because almost everything we do, something's going to offend someone. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about causing a weaker brother to stumble. In other words, they see him eating in the idol's temple, and they say, well, I guess I can eat in the idol's temple, except that when Paul eats in the idol's temple, he knows that an idol isn't real and that it's nothing and that he's not sinning by doing that. But when they see him eat in the idol's temple, they think, oh, man, he's sinning, yet he's the Apostle Paul. So I guess I can sin too. So they go in and eat, and they're actually sinning when they eat the meat in the idol's temple. And you can apply that to all kinds of things. And so he says, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. Again, in Romans 15:1, the Word of God says, and Paul said, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. And so he had to the weak, he became as weak. Paul said to the weak, I became as weak. And so we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. Now, that's not what modern Christianity teaches. Modern Christianity teaches that if you have liberty in Christ, that you should get in people's face with it. And you should let them know what your liberty is. There's a preacher. I hope that this guy never listens to anything I preach because I pick on him. I never use his name. But there's a preacher on Facebook that's a friend of mine. But he was an independent Baptist, and so in that denomination he was very much against a variety of things. He would preach against those things, and then he became Reformed. So now he's totally the opposite spectrum. So he started, he's calmed this down, but for a while he was posting pictures of him drinking beer and whatever he wanted to do that was the opposite of what they did. He was getting in people's face with it to show that he had Christian liberty. And that seems to be what Christians want to do today, is if we have liberty, let us make sure that you know what our rights are. But Paul said, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. So to the weak became I as weak that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men that I might by all means save some. Now, you can't please everybody, but you should try to reach everyone with the gospel of Christ. Amen? We can't please everybody, but we should try and reach everyone with the gospel of Christ. And this is what Paul did. He said, I am become all things to all men that I might by all means save some. So to do this, to reach people, you must identify to some degree with the person you're trying to reach. It's very simple. You can't please everybody, but we should reach everybody with the gospel of Christ. To do this, you must identify to some degree with the person you're trying to reach. You cannot win people to Christ unless you first win them in some degree to yourself. You've got to identify with the person you're trying to reach. For instance, we want to see Muslims get saved, but we don't want to have anything to do with Muslims. We're scared of them. We don't want to talk to them. There's Muslims in town. We wouldn't sit down and eat a meal with them. We don't want to have anything to do with them because they're evil. But you're not going to win people to Christ like that. You want to see Hispanics get saved and people from Mexico and Guatemala and all these places. And yet, we attack. I don't, but there are some rednecks in our churches that attack, Hispanics. And you're not going to win people to Christ. You say, well, I want to be a good American. That's great. But in order to win people to Christ, you have to be willing to love people and fellowship with people and identify with people. Same thing goes for black people. Now, we don't have any black people in the church right now, but I'm going to go ahead and say this, and if you don't like this, then that's fine. But this is free. If you want to win black people to Christ, you have to love and welcome black people. There's no such thing in the Bible as a white church. You understand that? No such thing. No such thing. Not in the Bible. You have to welcome people to win people to Christ. And the same thing could be said, I've heard adults for years. I've heard adults for many years, especially in the group that I came from. They want to attack music that young people listen to. They want to say, well, contemporary Christian stuff, we're against that. We're against that. And they're against it, but they don't know anything about it. Some of the most beautiful worship songs being written today are contemporary songs that people, because they don't ever listen to it or they don't like it, they know nothing about it. But you're not going to reach young people for Christ by telling them they have to sing. Boy, if you're going to come worship with us, you got to sing songs that are 100 years old. You're not going to reach young people like that. Think about when you were young. What kind of music did you like when you were young? And what did you think of adults that told you, you can only listen to our music? Now, I know that this, I'm acting like I'm in an adversarial position. Everybody, for the most part, everybody agrees with it. It's just fun to preach that way, folks. I don't know if you've ever done it. But, standing up and saying, now, this won't make me any friends. But I'm going to tell you that we need... It's fun. But anyway, everybody loves me here. And I love you. So I'm simply saying that we need to think about the person we're trying to reach. And we need to, in some way, be willing to identify with those people to reach them. And that's what Paul was doing. He said, I am made all things to all men that I might by all means save some. And that's what we've got to do if we're going to reach people for Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for letting us be in your house this morning. I do pray that you would bless our church. I pray you would help us to, just in our daily lives, to reach people for you. I pray you would help us to be friendly to people, to invite people to church, to invite people to Christ, to live in such a way that we can be a shining light for your gospel. I pray if anyone here does not know you as Savior, that you will convict them and cause them to turn to you today with every head bowed and every eye closed.